thank you for downloading this programme from the BBC. In this week's profile, Mark Coles looks at the rise of Britain's richest man, Uzbek businessman Alisher Usmanov.
From 6 years spent in an Uzbek jail to this, it's some achievement.
Russian billionaires take three of the top five slots in the latest Sunday Times rich list. Alisher Usmanov is Britain's richest person with a fortune of £13.3 billion, made from iron ore extraction and mobile phones.
The boy, once described as the least likely to succeed in his class, now boasts a private Airbus, a luxury yacht, homes in London, Moscow, Surrey and Sardinia. He owns roughly a third of Arsenal Football Club and, according to Forbes magazine, is the 28th richest person in the entire world.
Mr. Usmanov wants to be very big. He likes being recognised as big. He invites the attention to his bigness.
Over the years, his size has earned him a series of cruel nicknames. Fatty in Russia, Jabba the Hutt at Arsenal. But who is Alisher Usmanov and where's all his money come from? He was born on September the 9th, 1953, in Uzbekistan, which was then part of the Soviet Union, though not exactly thriving, according to this BBC News report from the 1980s.
These are the back streets of old Tashkent. They're earth, potholed, rutted. There's an irrigation channel running beside the road here. It smells very bad. It runs through a culvert under the road. And it's running past families living in conditions which I think would disgrace even the worse off of the third world countries.
Usmanov's family came from a remote rural region, later moving to the capital, Tashkent, where his father worked as a state prosecutor, a job which came with certain privileges, like access to a top Moscow school for Usmanov Jr., the Uzbek journalist and business analyst Shahida Tulaganova.
Well, first of all, I think the keys for his success are, A, he made a lot of good connections while in this school. It was and still is actually the very prestigious school to go to, and it was very hard to get. Somebody had to have a lot of connections to be able to accept it there.
A keen sportsman in his youth, age 13, inspired by the film The Three Musketeers, he picked up a sabre and fenced his way to Uzbek junior champion. He wanted to be a diplomat, but graduated with a degree in international law, which somehow failed to prevent him going to jail. In 1980, he was sentenced to 8 years in an Uzbek penal colony for what he says were trumped-up fraud charges, which were later overturned, the conviction formally quashed in 2000. My wrongful conviction and imprisonment changed my life, he wrote in an email exchange with this programme. It shaped many things in the years to come.
There's a checkered background, but there is for a number of the oligarchs.
Lord Miners is an independent director of one of Usmanov's companies, the Russian mobile phone operator Megafon. Before accepting the post, he wanted to know about Usmanov's time in jail, and on a marathon 6-hour stroll around a German lake, he says he found out.
When I had my substantial conversation with him, he raised with me the issue of his imprisonment and the subsequent quashing of that conviction. He did it rather nicely. He said, I'm sure you're going to want to ask the question, but it may be difficult for you to know when to ask it, so why don't I put it on the agenda? He says that Russia and Uzbekistan in particular were very lawless places, and we cannot look at that period of time through Western laws. The courts were corrupt, the police were corrupt, he was imprisoned on trumped-up charges, and it took him several years to secure a quashing of that conviction, which he could only really do when the legal system in Uzbekistan had stabilised.
When he was finally released from jail in 1986, after serving 6 years, Alisher Usmanov stepped out into a dramatically changed political landscape. The Cold War was coming to an end. The new Soviet president, Mikhail Gorbachev, had embarked on a program of economic and political liberalization, and Usmanov spotted an opportunity. He moved to Moscow and began his career as a businessman, making plastic bags. Shahida Tulaganova again.
For somebody who lives in Britain, has plastic bags pretty much everywhere in every supermarket, which are given for free, it's a nonsense. But that stage, there were no plastic bags. There was a serious shortage of plastic bags. And honestly, it was a very, very good business because everyone needed them. People paid money for those bags. But I don't think he became a billionaire by just selling plastic bags. Then he moved on and on. And that stage, you know, really what helped him is his connections.
From his early start with plastic bags to his block buying of Facebook shares 2 decades later, Usmanov has always been good at spotting opportunities, getting in early on lucrative deals.
President Gorbachev has confirmed his resignation after almost 7 years as leader of the Soviet Union. In a televised address broadcast around the world, he said he was ceasing his activities as president of the USSR and would now do everything he could to support the new Commonwealth of Independent States.
With the collapse of the Soviet Union at the end of 1991, Boris Yeltsin came to power, and with him came new opportunities. Lord Miners again.
Yeltsin effectively crashed the Soviet economy. He removed almost overnight state subsidy. He introduced coupons which were given away to people to own companies. And businesses which had previously been state protected were not. And a small number of people were very successful in seizing that opportunity, and Alisher Usmanov was one of them.
In the late 90s, Usmanov ended up at the state-run gas provider Gazprom, where, heading up a new company, he engineered leveraged buyouts of former Soviet assets, making him a leading force in the Russian metals industry. Those were tough and dangerous times, he recalled in one newspaper interview. Getting the right security and protection, he said, was paramount. John Helmer is a journalist who's covered the Russian minerals business for decades. He watched Usmanov rise to power.
The process that Mr. Usmanov benefited from was the collapse of the ability of energy-consuming companies in steel and iron ore to pay their energy debts owed to Gazprom. So Gazprom converts debt into equity and passes the equity to a trustee, a manager designated to run those assets as if they were his own. And along the way, those assets do become his own.
Then came Putin, a new president determined to wrest back lucrative state assets from private hands. But while some other oligarchs either lost their fortunes or went into exile, Usmanov remained in favour. But when he bought the weekly business newspaper, Kommersant, and sacked its editor for printing an unflattering article about the president, it led to accusations of political interference. Though in our email exchange with him, Usmanov is adamant. "I'm the owner," he wrote. "The media should not be a platform for hooliganism." Whatever his political allegiances, most accept his business acumen is second to none. As a result, says Lord Miners, he now has all the trappings you'd expect of a multi-billionaire.
I think it's very difficult to enjoy that amount of wealth. It's very difficult to say that there are some things that I can do when I've got £15 billion, which I couldn't do when I only had five. So I think he enjoys his wealth in the sense he has beautiful homes. He's a devoted family man. He's been re-elected again as the global head of the World Fencing Association. His wife is a leading figure in the world of gymnastics. He has a superb art collection.
His hobbies, he revealed in our email exchange, include ballet, music and art. "I really enjoy jazz music," he wrote, "especially Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. As for classical performers, Luciano Pavarotti was my idol." And just like Pavarotti, Usmanov is passionate about football.
The former Arsenal vice chairman David Dean has sold his 14.5% stake in the club to a Russian billionaire called Alisher Usmanov.
He doesn't need to make any more money. You know, buying Arsenal is almost loose change to him.
Alex Finn is the author of the book Arsenal, the Making of a Modern Super Club. Usmanov is, he says, a big supporter who enjoys sitting in a big box, watched over by an increasingly wary Arsenal board.
One concession that the Arsenal board have made to him is to allow him to take one box and knock it into two. So he probably has the best box in the whole stadium.
He's got a bigger box than anybody else.
Yes, certainly. But it still hasn't really got him a seat at the boardroom table.
Five Live Sport understands that the American Stan Kroenke has laughed off the possibility of selling his 10% Arsenal share to Alisher Yushmanov.
The battle for control of the club between an Uzbek oligarch and a US investor has led to a sort of east-west standoff at the Emirates Stadium. But in a rare interview, Usmanov warned he's not going away. He's playing a long game.
I think there are also many questions about effectivity of today's commercial management in Arsenal. But we will see and we will wait. Maybe when I wake up Sunday, I have this Arsenal club.
According to Alex Finn, Arsenal fans' early sod-off jabber banners have now largely disappeared.
Arsenal fans were very wary at the beginning. They've been won over to some extent. A, because of the indolence of the current board pursuing their self-sufficiency policy, which means that it's been 8 years without a trophy, and B, because of his pronouncements, which are in effect saying, I will be as good as my word, I have got the money, Arsenal need money, and I'm prepared to invest it.
So, shrewd PR and offers of money to help buy players seems to be winning support. But PR can only get him so far, particularly in Russia, says Shahida Tulaganova.
I would say that, yes, he is from Uzbekistan. He looks very Uzbek and he's a large guy. Russians don't really like that. He looks Asian, and Russians being quite racist towards people from the former Soviet Union, especially from Central Asia, the Caucasus, they see him that way. And even that huge amount of money he owns will never, never win their love and their respect from Russians.
Of late, it's said he's been spending more time in Uzbekistan. Some speculate he might be a future prime minister or president. I have no political ambitions, he told us. John Helmer agrees. He thinks business is his sole focus.
Accumulation is what drives him. Greater accumulation proves to him how much greater the esteem in which he believes he's held, and that corresponds or correlates with the higher self-esteem in which he holds himself.
So where will his business acumen take Britain's wealthiest man next? Over the past 20 years, he's succeeded in part by capitalising on chaos. With the global economic crisis showing little sign of ending, Lord Miners thinks Usmanov's next move could be a surprising one.
I would describe him as an opportunist, a man who has a flair for spotting an opportunity, then commits a lot of resource, including his own time, but also his team, to fully understanding the issue, and then boldly and with high conviction proceeds to invest. I don't think we can say with supreme confidence that there is a business sector which he would absolutely rule out. I think if he saw an opportunity in, for instance, banking, he would probably consider it very carefully.
The Bank of Usmanov, there's a thought, or as the man himself says,
we will see, and we will wait.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Profile, which was presented by Mark Coles. The producer was Chris Bowlby. For more downloads and information, please visit the Radio 4 website.